Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. My name is Gav Murphy. I'm joined by Daniel Cooper, Joe Screbbles.
Hello.
Boys in the house. This week, it's all about Deadpool Dos.
Is this our fourth?
Still pooling.
Is this our fourth special in third special in 4 weeks?
Joe, the more specials you do, the more special they are.
Yeah. They are so special. Really, it's gold standard.
Why is this one special? At the beginning, we've got a big old feature about the weirdest X-Men powers. Then, got a fucking full-on blast of Brolin. We've got Josh Brolin speaking for 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I'll go in a little bit of detail about the interview before that comes on. Then, we're going to go Deadpool Dos, the spoiler cast. So, we're going to talk about what bits we liked, what bits we didn't like, and so forth, and so on. How are you guys doing?
Very well.
Really good.
I'm excited about this.
Put three beers into the freezer. Did you notice how cold that is?
It's so cold.
That is very cold.
Hurt my hand.
Like, it's got, you know, it's so cold that when you put your finger on it, you can see, I can see like actual bits of my fingerprint.
Bits of my finger still stuck on it. Like when you get your tongue stuck to things.
Oh, bad eczema.
Like CSI.
You ever got your tongue stuck to something?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
I thought that only happened in films.
Well, I saw it happen when they visit Aspen in Dumb and Dumber, I was like, I want to try that. And I've
that
got
looks
it.
Like it's that
was,
for me.
Because he goes all stretch. I was like, that's not real. It absolutely is real.
Ooh. I got stuck to my kindergarten climbing frame.
With your tongue?
Yeah.
I think it's
like wrapped around it.
Big nice bit of ice on it.
I was really wondering if you were going to say teacher. Yeah.
Kindergarten teacher frozen out like Jack at the end of The Shining.
Can't get off him.
There's a lot of, no spoilers, but there's a couple of weird little mutants in Deadpool 2.
It doesn't work for you because you call people mutants as an insult all the time.
But yeah, the weird little mutants.
Gav's just a sentinel.
I'm Bolivar Trask.
He hates it. That's you for this Halloween done.
Oh yeah, I might go Bolivar Trask. But yeah, there's a lot of weird little mutants in Deadpool 2 with some strange powers. So what we thought we'd do as a nice little feature is we've picked two each of the weirdest and I guess
shittest.
One of mine's
shit, one of mine's not shit.
Okay, so these are the weirdest X-Men that we could find on the internet. Joe, do you want to go first with one?
Yes, we should say they're not in Deadpool. We're not spoiling any of them. So
mine is. No, it's not.
I wish this guy was in Deadpool.
Yeah.
His name's William Hanover, sweet, a.k.a. Long Neck. Get this, right?
Has he got a long neck?
He's got a long old neck. There's a picture of him.
The weird thing is,
he looks like Shaggy, except with a longer neck.
It's a long neck, but it's not like superhumanly.
Well, let me address that. On one of the wiki entries I found, there was that picture, and underneath it, the caption, Long Neck's neck is actually longer.
Find that picture.
Best caption I've ever found. I found a really good Marvel website that goes through the appearances of every character in every issue they've ever been
in. Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Let me tell you some long neck classics. Mm-hmm. He's been in about 7 or 8 issues. And some of the more exciting long neck moments. He was seen playing pool. He was seen going to the cafeteria for lunch. And he was seen getting upset that another person had stepped on him.
Is it on his neck?
No, just on his foot.
I like the idea of him, like, it sounds like he's always like a background character in the X-Mansion. Yeah. I like the idea of him being background of shot, but his head always being cut out of the frame.
Yeah,
that'd be really good.
No, he's just really always at the back of a group. The best thing about him is, I mean, like, that, well, the best thing about him is his long neck, because that's his only power. Everyone's like, all the different entries, like, we presume he's got no other mutant powers, but that's not confirmed. It's like, he's got a long neck. That's all he's got.
What can he do with the neck?
The most, I think it's just a long neck, but the most heroic thing he's ever done was being part of like a street team, just like clearing up some streets after an event. But I found out he's actually quite lucky. There's a sort of,
doesn't sound it. Well, stepped on left, right, and centre in the X-Mansion.
Relatively speaking, because there was another long-necked mutant called Jeannie Martin.
Yeah.
Both of them were involved in the M-Day incident, where everyone except 200 or 300 mutants got their powers taken away.
198.
In her case, don't care. In her case, she had a 40-inch neck. And when her powers went away, neck just snapped and she died. She's just dead on the street. Long neck, still alive.
He wasn't one of the 198.
So is it all right? He's just actually not a mutant.
He's just still got a long neck.
Right. So he hasn't got any powers, but he's just got a long
all
neck.
All he did was mutated and got a longer neck. It's like there's a character, I can't remember what he's called. He just went blue. That's his whole power. He just went blue.
Do you think he must not have a good time going to Xavier's school? Like, first day he turns up and everyone's like, because in first day, everyone would be like, what's your power when you go to uni? You go, what did you study for A-level? No one fucking cares. And they say, what's your power? And it's just like,
it's just,
and everyone's saying amazing shit. I can travel through time.
Pyro's like, well, because of my fire, I can fly, essentially.
Yeah. What can you do?
The best thing about Long Neck is he's approximately 6'6", which is shorter than, like, quite a lot of the X-Men. So he's just a little guy with a really long neck.
So his head wouldn't be out of frame there. That's
like, that would be a funny background.
So I think he's... Yeah. I reckon, what's that? That's like maybe a foot. So he might be like 5'6". He's quite small.
At what point are they just deformed?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's the fact that his mutant gene, he was normal necked, then his gene kicked in and his neck got long.
How many just deformed people are knocking them back?
Xavier's going, are we vetting these? And I need to keep this superhero team stopped.
Like, I think of all people, Xavier would just let it slide. Yeah. Just like,
What's this guy? Oh yeah, that's Tom Thumb. He lost his thumb in a boating accident. Like, that's not a mutant.
Yeah. Where'd
the boat come from? Didn't see it. Was it me?
What if it's a long game and Xavier's just bald and he's actually just psychic because he has everyone's records?
Yeah.
He's just a really good reader.
He's got to keep tabs.
Cool, so what have you got?
First appearance of this character in Omnoxio the Clown versus the X-Men number one.
What?
He's called Ice Cream.
Excellent.
Spell E-Y-E.
Right.
- Scream.
Yeah.
He's a mutant.
What?
Who has the ability to turn into any delicious flavor of ice cream.
Fuck off, he is.
But like, can he be eaten then?
I do not have that information, Gavin.
Is this way?
He can turn into... Well, so the description I got on one website says he can turn into any delicious flavour of ice cream, which seems quite subjective.
Yeah.
On the official Marvel website, it says he's a mutant with the power to turn into any flavour of ice cream he chooses.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be delicious.
Why the stupid portmanteau of eye and scream? Yeah.
I don't know, because I...
Nothing to do with his eyes.
Well, his eyes will also turn into ice cream, but they aren't the source of the cream.
Right.
Ugh.
Well, the thing I don't care about that, though, is like, can people eat him? How much of him can be eaten?
Okay. So he can also, as a benefit of this ability, not only does he turn into delicious ice cream.
Yes.
Ice cream, not gelato. Mm-hmm. He can melt, because that requires egg yolk. Mm-hmm. He can melt himself down and pass under and through objects.
Right, so he's still, is he sort of tangible?
He's liquid.
I think,
he's ice cream,
delicious ice cream.
Yeah.
So you can pass through. So I think he's good at like sneaking into things.
Okay.
Although he was foiled.
They put him in foil.
With the help of a birthday clown. Fucking hell.
This is a joke.
Make a one-off. He was frozen in a big block of ice, and then he was never seen again.
He's a joke, then. Is he just a joke?
He's canon.
That's ridiculous.
He's canon. Yeah.
Get a grip.
So there you go. That's ice cream.
Good. Here we go. Got some of mine. So some of my, I had some rejected ones first. Lifeguard. Do you know what she is? She's a lifeguard.
That's her power.
She's basically like Deus Ex Machina in any situation.
Really?
She basically, like, if she's in trouble, she takes on any power that will get her out of that trouble.
Oh.
But there's also that Darwin that has a similar ability, which is like instant evolution.
Yeah. Stacey X. Yeah. She's a prostitute.
Oh, I saw her.
Her pheromones can make people orgasm on command.
Yeah. There you go. That's
classic.
Good. But for my first one, I've gone for skin.
Oh, skin? Wait, is that spelt like the normal word skin?
It's spelt like normal skin. Yeah.
You're right. Not like the band Styx with a Y in it.
It's normal skin.
Skin.
He's like all grey and weird. Skin possessed approximately 6 feet of extra skin.
What? That's like my face. I've got a That's not even face. That
am I skin? He's capable of stretching, deforming, wrapping, expanding, and compressing this extra amount of epidermis.
Is he a rapper?
When skin is performing any of these stunts, it is only the epidermis that was manipulated. Skin's skeletal structure was the same as any normal average person of his height and weight.
So wait, does he have to physically pull it out?
I guess so.
Or does it stretch off him?
No, it doesn't. Hang on. Skin had a greyish tone and because of the extra amount gave him the appearance of a melted candle. I didn't write this. At one point, along with compressing his skin tighter against his body, skin was learning to manipulate the pigment melanin in his epidermis in order to appear normal. However, performing these two stunts together caused him to have migraines, and he soon gave up on the idea of being normal. That is skin.
Jesus Christ. Can he, like, stretch out to fly? Like a squirrel?
Oh, you've got a pen on your nose. What have you done?
No.
It's gone. It's literally gone.
God.
Yeah, you've done it.
I wasn't controlling my melanin. It's too much. I was getting a migraine.
He's a melted candle who gets migraines.
That's good. My next character appears to be actually quite a major character, but I've never heard of him before. He's a man known only as Japheth, a.k.a. Maggot. Have you heard of Maggot before?
I have.
Right.
Is he one of the Morlocks?
No. Okay. He's South African, and in his early teens, Maggot was diagnosed with stomach cancer.
Okay.
But actually what happened was that his digestive tract had turned into two big slugs called Eenie and Meenie. And Fantastic. The slugs will eat their way out of his hollow abdomen.
Yeah.
Then eat whatever they want.
Of course.
Or whatever he wants them to eat. Then eat back into him and give him nourishment and super strength. And also he turns blue. Everyone's turning blue. Little extra bonus, anything the slugs eat, they reveal the history of that thing they've eaten to him once they give it to him, which means that one time he went to the Empire State Building and went to the observation deck and had them eat a bit of the observation deck and remembered a scene of romance between Rogue and a Magneto clone called Joseph. And he became an X-Man when one of the slugs ate a bomb.
If anything, what this proves is enforced serial publication is a bad idea.
I love
this. Like, deadline's tomorrow. Oh, is it?
Maggot's been in so many issues as well. Yeah. It's like, imagine if they had to try and introduce that in the movies. Like, there's all these people with quite understandable powers. It's like, let me explain. I've got these two slugs, then different slugs, they're different names. I can remember bits. Like, well, it's insane.
That's the thing, because we talked about this. Like, you know when Star Wars basically just went, you know all those books and comics and stuff? They didn't happen, right? That's not canon anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we're starting again because this is fucking mental.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we're doing. And I feel like that's kind of what they need to do with the X-Men thing. But then, at the same time, they still always use the same fucking 8 X-Men all the time.
Do.
Even in the 70s, they'd fucking find a way of doing that.
Even in this one, Ricky Baker from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
He's just another Fire X-Man.
Yeah.
That's the same as
they keep having Fire X-Men. Yeah. Like, have something else.
Fire's evil. Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Please.
So my second one, my final one, is an X-Men. X-Man. X-Men. It always sounds weird saying X-Man.
Yeah.
I like X-Men.
There is also a character called X-Man. Yeah. Which is super confusing.
Yeah.
He's called Ugly John. Ugly John has no powers apart from he has three minion faces.
Three?
He has three faces. And so...
He's just deformed.
Yeah, so basically what they wanted to show was the fact that obviously, you know,
we can't all be James Marsden.
Sometimes you have unfortunate mutations. And in the case of Ugly John, he had three faces. My favourite fact about Ugly John, who first appeared in New X-Men 1-1-4, is he has no active powers, did have three faces, all of them ugly, and he introduced himself as Steve and says that his friends call him Ugly John. He's actually Steve, and his mates call him
Ugly Steve.
At least he has got mates, though. That's nice.
Well, he doesn't sound like very nice mates.
Don't even know his name.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were just calling you Ugly Dave all the time.
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, imagine.
Why am I being?
Yeah, there's. I don't really have much more on Ugly John. He was killed off. By the Sentinels after two issues.
Sentinels.
Easier more.
Gav gets involved.
There we go.
It is amazing how many of these you read, and it's just like, they were shit and they died. Like, if you're shit, you die.
Here we go. I've got Pixie.
Right.
She's a hybrid mutant and fairy.
What?
She's got pixie eyes, pixie wings,
yep.
Pixie fairy dust, which causes hallucinations. She's got a dagger that can disrupt magic. Also, is the only ever Welsh X-Man.
Oh,
She's from the fictional mining town of Abergilead. Her dad died in a mine, so she left because she was afraid of the mine. But not before she was raised by her grandparents, Mrs. Gwyn and Barry Gwyn.
Why is Mrs. Gwyn not getting that?
She hasn't got a name.
Barry's wife.
That Mrs. Gwyn should not be confused with her real mother, who's also called Mrs. Gwyn, and she's a pixie. So,
is it a Welsh pixie? Are pixies big in Welsh mythology?
Not overly.
Not known for it.
I love that you suggested this feature.
Yeah.
Weirdest X-Men powers, and you immediately went, it's got to be a Welsh one.
Yes.
Fuck it.
I did suggest a feature. That was Krupa.
All right.
But
he saw the W.
Yeah.
They were mental.
Welshest X-Man powers.
I was at home and I went on a run. I took a really beautiful picture of Lancashire and I sent Gavin said, almost as beautiful as Wales. Immediately, almost, came back.
Well, no, this is the journey I went down. I was looking for shite powers and someone was taking a piss out of a guy called Cypher, who basically
he just does languages,
he can just understand languages. And then
we've all read the same three list articles.
And they basically said it's bullshit because they essentially were just trying to crowbar in loads of different people who could speak different languages. And then he'd be like, they'd have someone who was French to him and be like, we don't understand what you're saying. Cypher would go, allow me. And he'd do it. But the one line at the end was like, I bet he'd be good if they ever went to Wales. And I was like, I wonder if they ever did go to Wales. Let's have a look. Turns out, Abergilead.
Beautiful.
I couldn't even have a fucking
real Welsh place.
Because that's the thing about Marvel Comics. It's like, it takes place in real world, places.
Yeah.
I think they just went, Abba, fuck it.
Gilead.
Yes, whatever. Sounds.
What does Abba mean?
In between. Oh, by river.
By river.
Yeah. So Abertridur would be like, by the three rivers.
Well, that's fun. Yeah. Deadpool 2.
Yeah. Brawlers. So we had 20 minutes with Josh Brolin
to discuss Wales.
I was really worried when you were going into this. I thought he would be difficult.
Well, no, so I didn't really know much about him, and then I started following him on Instagram because you suggested he's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, he's lovely and nuts.
And yeah, I think you know, you look at the characters that he plays and stuff like that. They're all super serious.
Yeah.
But then they're all super serious. But this is something I talk about in the interview, like. Because he's so serious, a lot of the time, when he has a funny line in a film, it's always the funniest line because it comes from someone who you're not expecting it. Like, Inherent Vice, his restaurant scene where he just keeps shouting, Moto Panakeko, to a Japanese dude is so funny.
Yeah.
Unlike Men in Black 3, he is incredible in that.
He's very good.
he's just a really, really good straight man, and that's what, obviously what you need in Deadpool. But yeah, the interview was really good with him. The lady who was in charge of his room, who was timing it and stuff like that, said that they'd had a lot of interviews that day where they just kind of didn't get him, because he told me, he says in this interview, he was like, I fucking make shit up. He's like, I've told someone I'm right in Goonies 2. Like, he's just like, I make shit up all the time and stuff like this. And I was like, oh yeah, I would do that. And he was like, I'm not joking, I do it all the time. And he's like, none of this has been real. which is really funny. But then, As I was going in, basically, the lady was taking me in, and you're drunk as a setup. Like, he's got a background behind him, I've got a background behind me. So as she's taking me in, I can just see the background where I'm going to be sitting in front of, so I can't see him. And as she takes me around, he's having his makeup touch up. She's like, oh, just hold it back a second. But then there's this, like, no man's time, where she's just like, so yeah, you having a nice day? And I said, yeah, I am, actually. It's like, it's super sunny, but it's freezing cold. So that's like perfect weather for chubby fella like me. And he, the other side, goes, chubby fella, oh, I'm stealing that, it's good. And he starts laughing, and I said, oh, you don't even know what I look like. I could be absolute boggling now. Like, if I come around here and you look disappointed, I'm gonna be fucking gutted, just so you know. And then you'll hear a little bit in the thing, but I go around and he was already laughing, and then he says, like, you're not chubby, and he starts saying stuff like that, which is really nice of him. But yeah, afterwards, lady was like, we've had some people who haven't really got his sense of humor, but you were taking a piss out of him. At one point, he said he was nervous, and I touched his hands, and he's like soaking wet. He was like, I'm nervous, man, I don't know what's happening in this interview. Yeah,
it was got so weird energy to him. He's got really,
yeah, but he was so funny.
That's quite nice though.
But she said, like, he keeps making shit up, and other journalists are just not getting that he's joking because he's so serious, and going away, and then he's just like, well, they think I wrote Goonies 2 now.
So don't trust anything you hear in this next 20 minutes.
In this next 20 minutes,
it is delightful. Oh,
but it is really good. We've done two videos with him by the time you hear this. Possibly. One of them is him reacting to his Thanos in Fortnite gameplay, which is very funny. Another one is him showing me how to do the Thanos click. That'll be up after you listen to this, or depending on when you listen to it. You know how this shit works. Anyway, here's Josh Brolin. You've had a quiet year. You going to do any films this year? Any big films?
You know what? I'm not going to do any films this
year. You're done.
I've done my films this year. I did 2.5 years of 5 films.
Shit.
So, and it just kind of worked out, which is fun, which I have to admit is fun when you have a summer where you actually have 4. So we did only The Brave that came out, which I'm not sure when we did that.
Yeah.
And then we have Avengers, Deadpool, Sicario, and Legacy of a White-Tailed Deer Hunter coming out month after month. So between.
Very different films as well.
Very, yeah, which I like. Yeah, I like the idea of that more. And, you know, having done a lot of theater in New York, that was usually, I had this theater, Jiva Theater in Rochester, New York with Anthony Zerbe, and we'd always do 3 plays in rotating rep, and I would always be in 2 of the plays.
Right.
And I always liked that. This is kind of like that version, but the $500 million version of that.
And did you, for those, do you go sort of, do you do bits at the time, or do you go from one to one to one, so you're not doing Cable and Thanos at the same time?
I was doing Cable and Thanos same time. So I did Thanos for part of the year that I did Thanos.
Yeah.
I was the sort of softer, I wouldn't go so far as to say chubby, but I would say the softer version of myself.
Okay.
And then in the middle of doing Avengers, I got the call about Deadpool 2.
Right, okay.
And then decided to, I mean, I read it. My wife said, you know, I started kind of because I was tired, I think. You know, they're like, are you interested in doing this? And I hadn't really heard about it. I didn't hear that they were doing a second one. I loved the first one. But I was like, you know, I'm doing that. I finally decided to do something like that. And I liked the decision of doing Avengers.
Yeah.
And then they were, and my wife just said, just read it. If you don't like it, then you don't like it. But just read it. Like, why are you even talking? Why are you complaining already?
Yeah.
Or rebelling against the idea of this. And then I read it. I read it on my phone. And I cracked up for 1.5-2 hours, and it was kind of inevitable. I said yes right away.
Yeah, and I read, like, when you were cast, that Kevin Feige at Marvel said, like, oh, it, you know, we don't see it as a problem, because obviously people were like, shit, he's going to be in these 2 massive Marvel films.
Yeah, because
he said, like, that the characters are so different. But actually, what struck me yesterday when I was watching is actually how similar Cable and Thanos are. Like, they're doing something awful for the greater good.
Yeah, but they're not similar.
No? Not, no. You don't think that's
nice
all.
Try, though.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, I get, I mean, look, you can say all villains are similar.
Yeah.
They're all trying to destroy something, you know, but to me, at least in the approach, the it's just very different. What did Feige say? Because I reached out to Feige myself,
yeah.
And I said, are you cool with this? Because I know some people are like, you do this and you can't. I think if it were the other way around, it wouldn't have been cool. Right. Had I been doing Deadpool 2, and then if Avengers came along, I don't know if Fox would have been okay with that.
But you were like, fuck, I've already filmed half of Thanos. What are you going to do?
No, it was that. And then Kevin Feige's so cool. Yeah. I mean, he's like one of my favorite human beings, period.
He seems amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah. And it's not because he's successful. It's not because of that. It's because those guys are true fans.
Yeah.
You know, like Ryan is a true fan of this character, having tried to get it made for 8 years, and then he stuck with it, and he stuck with it, and then he had his opportunity in Wolverine, and they put a fucking thing over his mouth, which was, I mean, you know, like, how do you do that? You're like, we think this is the right version. And he's like, no.
Someone making that film was obviously just annoyed with Ryan Reynolds.
Obviously, obviously. They're trying to ruin his career. But, you know, he obviously knew the tone. He got it. It was just something that was intrinsic in him. But yeah, man, Kevin Feige, what was the quote?
Well, he said,
it was about Han Solo.
Yeah, he said you were Han Solo, Indiana Jones.
There we go. Like, there we go. Which is the greatest thing he could have said. Yeah, but you know, the fact that those guys like take off to Palm Springs and they geek out once a year annually, and they sit there and they go, what if Thanos like did a thing with his gauntlet, and then, you know, and they go, oh my God, that's a great idea, and they write it down. It's cool, man.
That's such a good impression.
I'm not saying, I'm not making fun of him.
No, of course.
It's like full regression.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So do you kind of see Cable as
being a lover of the imagination?
Do you kind of see Cable as Deadpool's straight man?
Well, he is. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm lucky that I've been like thrown into this stand-up comics, you know, family.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, now you do what you do. I mean, I remember when I first started it and we had the 7 or 9 page scene that we started with, and I was out in the middle of the fucking desert, man. I thought I'd made a terrible mistake. I didn't know where I fit.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what my, you know, this idea that, you know, Ryan came up with, he was like, it's more Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy, or, you know, Danny Glover, or Mel Gibson, that kind of back and forth. And I liked that. I liked that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know in the beginning really how to do that. But now, that you know, we've done this, whether you like the movie or not, Deadpool 2 is this version of really, you know, selfishly me figuring out where I fit in all this.
Yeah.
Whereas TJ Miller and Ryan, there's an immediate understanding of like, you know, we do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, I try to outdo you with each line and you try to outdo me with each line. Whereas this is a little bit different. So I look forward to X-Force and seeing what we do with that.
But I kind of felt because you look so serious, when you deliver your funny lines, it becomes funnier. Like we were just watching your Inherent Vice scene, like the pancake scene today.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious because you're such a serious character. So then you get to say something funny and be one of the funniest scenes in the film.
It's almost like Inherent Vice was just a little like prelude to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about, you know, the movie that we all love to talk about, how bad it is, Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
You know, this is like a version of that. You know, when I looked at it, I was like, that's kind of Jonah Hex-y.
Yeah.
But the way better version. The version that works, I think.
That's hopefully. Awesome. Hopefully. But you get some really funny lines, you know, in the cab, you get some funny lines as well. Like, was there ever anything that was said on set that you had to, like, the director had to step in and be like, we can't use that?
Yeah. You know, there were a lot of things. No, because you're coming up with different lines. And, you know, and also I relied on Ryan because Ryan understands this tone better than anybody. So I would think of a line. You know, the tough thing about this, man, is you like throw out a line, especially if you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You throw out a line and nobody laughs. And then you throw out a great line and nobody laughs. It's because you're on the set for 14 hours. You've been up 2 a.m. working out. Then, you know, you get to work at 4 a.m. You have 3.5 hours of makeup. You see everybody. You're already irritated. You know, the guy who's putting on the makeup is using a brush that has 3 bristles in it. And he's tickling you for 3.5 hours. And you want to just rip off his head. So that throws you into
this curmudgeon-y tone. Fuck it.
Yeah, it was like, that was the prep for the day. So by the time I got on set, I was so out of my mind pissed off. And then they're like, be funny.
Yeah.
You know, you look like a, you know, a porn thingy.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's laughing. So it's miserable. It's miserable. And then you see the movie and you go, oh, it's not miserable.
Yeah.
It works.
But you get to say the C word. I'm not going to say it. There's a lot of ladies in the room.
Yeah.
You get to say the C word, which is kind of a bigger deal to say in America than in, like, Britain.
You hear it in Britain all the time. Yeah. No, I know. It's a major thing, but I don't use it in the way that you would be.
No. I feel like you use it more like a British type way.
Exactly. It's kind of thrown away like that.
Yeah.
And it's toward him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have any sort of...
That's the great thing about, I mean, being able to play this character is because, you know, he's this guy who's so insulting and so awful that you can say anything to him and the audience applauds.
Yeah.
You know?
They just like it.
They love to hate him.
Yeah.
No, fucking hell.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't do it well, but here, you say it.
Fucking hell. Yeah, that's not good, is it?
You're British, right?
Well, I'm Welsh, so it's slightly different.
Yeah, that was worse British.
I like Bellend. Bellend's
you
good.
Said fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
What you said? I don't sound like that. What are you talking about?
See, you know, you want to know what it's like to play Cable?
Yeah.
You just felt it.
Damn.
You just looked at me and you just looked at me and you were like, I don't fucking sound like that. You got all angry at me.
Yeah.
I got a little scared.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You mentioned sort of, you know, what's coming next and that. You've mentioned that before that you're in like a four picture deal or, you know, that's kind of the plan. What comes next after this?
You mean what comes
for
next
Cable.
For this?
Yeah.
Well, it's X-Force. I mean, he's, you know, they put together this X-Force and he's the, I mean, it sounds so dumb coming out of my mouth, but he, you know, he's the leader of that group.
Yeah.
Where Deadpool is in that group, we'll see. You know, I've heard kind of a blueprint sketch of what it is.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's really funny and fun and irreverent and there'd be a lot of locations and it's cool.
And is it going to be something that, you know, Cable's going to stick with Deadpool? Is he going to go off and do his own thing at any point? Or
I could tell you the whole thing now, but then you wouldn't see the movie. And
we
got the exclusive. It's like Goonies 2. People are like, hey, so are you doing Goonies 2? And I finally just started saying yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Robert De Niro and Meryl Streep and all the great actors out there.
I always wonder why people don't do that more. Say anything. Just say,
I do.
Yeah. Okay, wicked, yeah.
I do. Yeah. I haven't told you one stitch of truth yet.
Despite the fact you don't like me, how I say fucking hell. That was the truth. That was the truth.
Fucking hell.
Come on, mate.
Fucking hell. You do it as badly as I do. You and I should just start a show called Fucking Hell.
Fucking hell.
We should
do a podcast. It badly, yeah.
Yeah.
The podcast.
Hello. Welcome to Fucking Hell. I'm Josh Brolin.
Okay, good. I'm glad you were doing you and not doing me then, man.
You got too angry. I got scared. You got tattoos. You're very intimidating, man.
Yeah, the prison tattoos as well. So.
Yeah.
I'll go through my professional
That's
things.
A joke for you. For me, it wouldn't.
So we've got, you know, Cable's in the Marvel Universe, Thanos is in the Marvel Universe, two of these massive characters.
Yeah.
How do you think Cable would have reacted to Thanos? Do you reckon he could have stopped him? It's pretty powerful.
No, but like, why do people ask that question? Like, there's no contest.
Yeah.
Like, Cable's having trouble killing the kid.
That's a very good point.
Do you know what I mean?
But do you think he could
Thanos
have helped
Thanos is destroying
the Avengers,
half
though.
The universe.
Yeah.
Thanos is a really, really powerful character.
Yeah.
And he's purple, which is scary.
Yeah.
Cable is, like, slightly tanned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There is, you know, a deal that's in the works where Disney could end up owning.
I know.
Like Cable.
I know.
It'd be amazing, if you didn't know that. I'm telling you that.
No, I know. Hey, by the way, Josh,
just
did you know?
Right? I'm just out of read on Google.
Fox.
Could they ever, like,
I think they could. I mean, I like the... Listen, man. That's why I say, go to Palm Springs and hear a bunch of guys geek out on what if Cable, like, was Thanos' baby or something like that. And then he could cradle Cable, and then he could breastfeed Thanos or something like that.
Because Thanos hasn't got a lot on at the moment. He's on his farm right now. So
I know, man.
He's got the time to breastfeed.
And he's got the breasts to breastfeed, if you look at those chest muscles.
Yeah.
You know.
And Cable's got some lips on him, so
wow.
You put Thanos' breast, Cable's
dude.
Lips.
I like it.
We've got ourselves
like
a film going.
Your prison tats are talking now.
Are you aware that right now you're...
Am I what?
Are you aware right now that your
aware.
Face... Are you aware? No, just aware. In general.
No, I thought you
are
said
you aware right now
you're
in general?
A widow right now.
No. Are you aware right now that your face is in like the biggest video game and is the most famous thing at the moment.
A buddy of mine named Robert Ressler, who's an actor, and his sons just sent me a video last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. About, they were like apoplectic about this video game. I didn't know about it before that. So what's the video game called?
It's called Fortnite.
Fortnite.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing this Fortnite thing everywhere. Yeah. Fortnite, Thanos, and all that, and I had no idea what anybody was talking about.
Yeah.
Why is he dancing? I don't understand.
Well, he's just killed a bunch of people, so he's kind of react. That's one of his reacts, this kind of like taunt people. Being like, I can dance.
I don't know if I like that.
No? No. You're like, shut it down.
Shut it down.
You're like, we got to stop this motherfucking Fortnite thing.
That's so weird.
That's not one of your moves then?
No, obviously it's
not. I'm sad to learn that.
I know. I wish I had done the mocap for that.
Yeah.
Then I would have done a great dance move. I'm good at dancing, by the way.
What's your go-to dance move?
I spin on my back with my legs flying up in the air.
You can spin in the...
Let me just say that again.
Yeah.
I spin on my back with my legs flying up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try it once more. I spin on my back with my legs flying up in the air.
I want to see that in Fortnite. we're coming to the end of this.
There's nothing better. You think I want to end this?
No,
my
hands
just
started
sweating.
I
love
really
being
bad.
Uncomfortable so much. Okay. There's something so attractive to me about being uncomfortable.
You're not uncomfortable right now, are you?
Yeah, my hands just started sweating when I did that. Yeah, they're a little clammy.
Even my hands aren't sweating. I'm like 15 stone. I know.
You're the one who wants to leave.
I don't want to leave.
Admit it.
I'm here.
Prison man.
And like you've got, you know, now one of the most famous clicks in the world. Can you tell us how to do a Thanos click properly?
Yeah, you talk us through the nobody's going to like this, but sometimes if I didn't have the gauntlet, and I did wear the gauntlet often, I didn't have to. But I chose to.
You brought your own from home.
Yeah.
Covered in foil.
Like, Daniel Day-Lewis version of playing Thanos.
Yeah.
And then, but I had hockey gloves a lot of the time. And to snap with hockey gloves on is just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because nobody can hear anything. And it's just tough anyway.
Yeah.
So when I would look somebody in the eye, you know, and you'd have like that look going, and you'd go, and a hockey glove would come up, and you'd go. Pretty much sucks.
And then they go...
It is truly a profession of humiliation, man.
Yeah.
If you just deconstruct it. A lot of embarrassing moments going on.
And just finally, because we ask this to everybody, but have you seen the movie The Prestige? Do you like it?
Oh my God, why would you bring that up?
Because we love it.
Really?
Yeah. Do you not like it?
I love that movie.
Oh, good. That's all right.
I absolutely love
that
movie.
That's why I end with that
question. But that was what? That was more than 10 years ago.
More than 10 years ago, 2008,
I love that movie.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's an amazing movie. Yeah. And then there was a movie that came out along the same time as The Prestige that was like The Prestige.
The Illusionist.
That's right.
Get out of here with The Illusionist.
Not, didn't work.
Not as good, yeah.
The Prestige was a great movie.
Do you remember seeing The Prestige in the cinema?
I do. And I also remember seeing The Illusionist in the cinema. In the movie theater, we call it. And I was, it didn't work. Prestige is a great movie.
Excellent. That's good to know, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That was a lot of fun, dude.
That was.
Cheers. Thank you. What a lovely man Josh Brolers is.
Wonderful.
Now, there are going to be some spoilers as we talk through Deadpool 2. So, Croops, you reviewed it.
Did.
What'd you give it?
I gave it 7.8.
That is
which
fair.
Is a very good film.
Yeah.
It Remember is, that.
Very
it
good.
Means it's very good. Not quite great.
Yeah.
Stop leaving comments to the contrary.
But I look around other reviews, it seems kind of where a lot of them are landing.
Yeah.
There's
some weird comments under that. I know there always are, but like people going like, oh, if you don't like gore, you shouldn't watch Deadpool. So at what point did we say we didn't like gore?
Yeah.
Also, this is also in our video review, people saying there's spoilers in it. I don't know what's a spoiler in it, like that's not been in the trailer, which I think is fair game.
Yeah. Also, apart from anything else, like the trailers did quite a good job
of misleading. I think trailers got really good at that recently, which I am in fame for.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's a big thing that you said. You weren't a fan of what they did with the X-Force thing, whereas I thought it was fucking brilliant.
It's not that I wasn't a fan of it. It's that the nerd in me definitely wanted this to be an X-Force intro movie.
So this is like all the last trailer in particular made it out as he is assembling his own team.
Yeah.
And in the moment when they all jump out of the plane, they all get unceremonially dispatched.
What I actually had a problem with was at the time I was watching it, I was like, fucking hell, they've really rinsed through the X-Force. Like, I thought the audition scene that we saw already was going to be getting to know them, like, getting to understand their personalities and stuff. And then suddenly they're just on that plane.
Oh, yeah, it's essentially the trailer.
And I was like...
yeah.
Oh, I was disappointed because I was like, yeah. I fucking love Terry Crews and, like, the Vanisher thing's funny. And all of that, and then... when you understand what the punchline is, everything's redeemed. At the time, I was just like,
it's a weird thing. When Terry Crews' character gets hit by that truck,
it's not confirmed dead.
I think it's really well handled because obviously they precede it by going, it's just a throwaway line by Peter's character, who is the one without power. It's going, oh, it's a lot of wind.
Scene before, Weasel says there's a wind advisory.
Yeah.
So it's just, you're like,
But it's just like seeing that a few too many times, you're like, oh shit, this is like a thing. And then when Terry Crews hits that thing, I just thought, oh, is he just really badly hurt? And then it dawns on you what's about to happen. And I think what's perfect about it, the way it's orchestrated, having Deadpool sit there and it all go on around him and keep coming back and he's looking at different directions.
Yeah.
So he's seeing it all unfold and you just know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Makes it funnier.
That brilliant shot where he goes like,
I love that.
Ah, X-Force. And he looks around and there's just someone like somersaulting on a parachute, like loop the loop in. It's fucking hilarious. I think that the problem I had with it, like, in that scene, which obviously is redeemed by the punchline. I think it was simply...
they razzed you.
They razzed me. That's fine. They can razz me all they want.
Ultimate Russell.
The moment where it gets up to that, it's part of, I think, what the film's biggest problem is, which is for the first 45 minutes, hour, it's just like, here's a thing, here's a thing, here's a thing, and it doesn't feel like there's any plot at all. So I thought that was just the latest in a load of things where you're like, sorry, how the fuck did we get here?
There was generally a moment where we're watching that movie and... when some semblance of plot comes together where you kind of realise that the Ricky Baker kid is going to be the guy who kills Cable's family and that's going to be the final act, that's not, I looked at my watch, that's a good like 60-70 minutes into the movie.
It's mad
that it kind of gets plot.
But
because it's more this like more open ended thing of like him trying to grow as a human being, which is good because it allows them to like rattle through bits, but it's not really
Did anyone else think that when we saw him in the future, it was going to be Taika Waititi?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Like, because the scene where he comes in
expected that to be someone, like a cameo, and it wasn't as far as I remember.
No, it was a guy who just looked quite a lot like the kid.
He was a Kiwi actor.
I liked that.
But I was like, it's going to be Taika Waititi and it's going to be brilliant. But then I guess it's quite a serious scene because he's fucking nailing a kid. So.
Yeah. But... yeah, so like that was my problem up until then. But then actually, that's kind of the turning point for the movie. Like after that, once you have Juggernaut gets out, Domino shows off her insanely good fight scene.
That's really funny as well. You go, see, it's not very cinematic. And while this cool thing's happening,
but you described it really well as like she's essentially a walking Final Destination movie.
Yeah, that's the script. I was like, I lifted that. Right. I originally had like Rube Goldberg. Where it's just like when it's just unfolding and it's just like it's just inevitable, but it's so weird to watch.
Like I think you're writing a review, like that was some of the best action sequences.
Because it's good carrots for action. It's not like just generic.
But then we said on the way back as well when we came out of it, like it's one of a cool thing where everyone's fight scenes are different and very personal to them as well. So like Deadpool stuff with
the broken arm fight.
Oh my god, it's brilliant.
Like actually making use of the fact that he can just heal all the time. Yeah. Like that is brilliant.
And like because they have the classic, more classic Deadpool action opening where he's just doing the 9-to-5 sequence. It's really funny because it's like him just doing his regular job. He's like touring the world and it gives it this little bit more kind of
I didn't realise till I breath. Looked back I went and rewatched the first movie. I didn't realise that I'd forgotten that those gold cards are his original job he's doing as Wade Wilson before he's Deadpool.
Are they?
Yeah, so like when in the first film when he goes and freaks out that stalker pizza guy at the start, he's got a gold card with that kid's name on. And then in this film, when he's going for the guy in Hong Kong, he's got that same gold card with that guy's name on. So he's still doing exactly the same job he was doing before.
I guess that ties in nicely with the idea of like, that does tie in the idea of like, he needs to grow and do more with his life and his abilities.
Yeah. like I was saying to you, my favorite, I liked the first film more than either of you, I think.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I liked it is I'm fucking obsessed with The Mask.
Yeah.
And the first film felt like a really horrible mask in loads of ways. Mm. And that scene where he's strangling the guy with his own, going for Cable with his own broken arm.
Yeah.
That's pure Mask stuff. So I was just looking at it like, this is fucking wicked. Yeah, just like, just this absolutely absurd use of his own body. It's brilliant.
I actually found it's weird, all that stuff about like him, that underwater sequence as well. I was kind of thinking about that the other day, where he's like, he is kind of communicating to her in this weird way that seems more real than just a dream.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't quite like at the end when the Take On Me comes on. Like the kind of weirdly haunting version of Take On Me.
That's actually Aha as well. I looked in the credits.
Is it?
Yeah, that's really good. I found it really unplugged version that they did.
Oh, wow. It's really good.
It's very cool.
It's lovely.
That's the thing. That water thing, that's never explained, is it?
No.
I think
why he can communicate with the dead. But
it feels more than just like interior monologue. Yeah, it feels tangible.
Well, it has to be tangible because it's the entire fucking force of the film. It can't just be her soul speaking to him from another dimension.
Well, I think it's just, as best I can work it out, it's implied to be like a near-death experience.
Yeah.
This guy who can't get near death.
Yeah.
It's as close as he can get. That's good when his powers get shut down and he's in full-on cancer.
Yeah.
Comes back.
It's almost as if they just watched Get Out and went, that's a nice little
effect. Good way to visualise it.
It's a weirdly sentimental movie in places, which you don't feel is earned a lot of the time.
It's super small scale again.
Yeah.
Like there's the big domino sequence towards the end, but again, it still feels like it's all shot in Vancouver in the same bit that the first movies take place in.
Yeah.
The finale takes place in a little nondescript courtyard,
which you've already seen
earlier in the movie. It's not, it's just weird because he's so conditioned these movies for them to be more kind of like globetrotting and like just bigger. So it's kind of weird that it just takes place in like a school yard.
Yeah.
I do like that final sequence though. I really liked his death sequence that just keeps on going.
Yeah, we were pissing ourselves.
That was really
literally
good.
The mask.
Yeah.
That is a scene in the mask. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Aww. I did really like
Let's
this.
Watch the mask.
One of my favourite bits, and it just reminded me, like, there's a sequence in the, there's good stuff in the comics, there's better stuff in the cartoons where they go to Mojo World, and like Mojo World is essentially Running Man, where this guy called Mojo runs a TV network, but it's a planet, and he just gets mutants on there to fight for ratings, and Shatterstar says that he's from Mojo World, and I just remember thinking like, they can do all these little small things now. Do Running Man with all the X-Men. Yeah. Like, that'd be amazing.
If you can go to fucking Sakaar in a Marvel movie, you can go to Mojo World.
Yeah.
I think that's why I was maybe a little bit disappointed about it, because the first one did so insanely well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that this needed the budget of, like, Age of Ultron or anything nuts like that, but I did expect there to be, like, more future time travel stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like...
Or summon.
Or break, you know...
Yeah.
He's very fond of like breaking the fourth wall, and like some of those references I just didn't really like. Like I think some of them are just a bit dated already.
Fucking dubstep, man.
Oh, the dubstep thing's
bad.
That's
quite embarrassing.
Yeah.
It feels like it was written a long time ago.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
But I thought two years ago a dubstep joke probably wouldn't have been in, right?
That's true.
But like that, with him, he can do anything. I thought there'd be more crazy situations he put in, whether that's at the future or...
Like, I'm not having a go at people. but I feel like doing the stuff that breaks the fourth wall, where he like has a pop at other films, or when he calls like the DC universe, I feel like people think that that is enough, that they don't have to do anything different rather than just, you know, calling Thanos now and again. The kind of people I'm talking about will lose their fucking minds for those jokes. Where actually, what you want is them going, right, we're going to subvert it even more, and it's going to be this mad other thing, and we're going to do
Subverting like the expectations of a genre convention of assembling the team and then being awesome and doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, the thing, it's easy to have a pop. It's not as easy to feel reverential while still being funny. So there's that really good bit in the first film where she takes off his mask and he's got a Hugh Jackman mask on underneath.
Yeah.
That's a funny little joke. It's not making fun. It's just going, I'm still referring to stuff whilst being sort of dumb. They don't really do that in this one. It's always like, oh, that's bad. That's bad.
A bit snide.
Like, yeah. It feels
snarky,
a bit
snarky with the kind of, oh, like, because they do like, oh, you're so dark from the DC universe, and they also do the Martha gag.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I just already feel like by the time I'm watching them, they were really dated jokes.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm not like a massive DC fanboy or anything like that, but I was just like, I don't really care about this.
You're better than this.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I feel like. I
think you're literally better than
that. I think you're funnier than that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can do more than just that.
Yeah.
That said, the end credit scene where he shoots Ryan Reynolds in the head that's as good. He's getting very a Green good. Lantern yeah. script. Fuck.
But I think that's really good because earlier in the movie, he signs that kid's like thing, Ryan Reynolds. He signs his box of cereal, Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. And that, like, if there's any actor in recent times that has more felt ownership of a movie character, I'm not really sure who that person is.
Because
even the way that he's like made his Twitter persona in essentially he is Deadpool off hours.
It's weird, isn't it?
I guess
he is Canadian as well.
Chris so Evans is sort of regarded as the only credible Captain America now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see anyone else playing that role. But I don't think anyone, you're right, has embodied it.
Yeah, where his, like, personal brand is, like, is essentially that. And also, I found out that Ryan Reynolds is from Vancouver, so he's just, like, gets to, like, film it at home just...
with his mum.
Yeah, people like, downtown, like, know his mum. Well, there's Ryan being Deadpool again.
I read earlier somewhere, I don't know if it's true... but apparently there was another post-credit scene planned with Chris Evans and his Human Torch thing. So it's going to be a similar thing where he's shooting people.
That's really good.
Do we know for a fact there's definitely no...
That would be Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, do we know for sure there's definitely no end credit scene?
I don't think so.
Because often it's Tuesday. I feel like we might have heard about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because often they... Add don't show sometimes. Them in media screenings.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah.
Although I'm kind of think, I think that's only ever happened once that I can think of. It's usually when you see him earlier as well.
Yeah,
that would have been very funny. I thought that was really good those ones because like the fact that he's setting himself up, like because he has had a fucking shite series of movies. Like not just a couple,
he's
done loads of rubbish movies. Yeah. Like that. It's cool that he's now obviously got this.
Yeah.
Thing that people love.
Please don't take Van Wilder's name in vain. He's the party liaison.
BPRD.
one thing.
BRPD even.
Is it RIPD?
What am I saying? What am I thinking? I'm thinking of the
Raccoon City.
Yeah. What was thinking of that, mate? Should never forget it.
You know how Netflix changes its own posters sometimes?
Oh, it changes thumbnails all the time.
The one for RIPD is a behind the scenes shot of Jeff Bridges laughing with the director.
Weird.
And I was like, oh, is this like, I've not seen that film. I was like, oh, is this like a weird comedy moment? I was looking at it and like no, there's a big fucking camera in the background. Like, it's just a picture from
some
a documentary.
Of those thumbnail testing is mental. Yeah. So, obviously you're tuning into Deadpool 2 spoiler cast sections, but Happy Valley with Sarah Lancashire. She's not on the thumbnail for Happy Valley.
Who is?
So it's a bloke who's in one episode.
Futile and stupid.
But that bloke is The Rock.
Futile and stupid gesture, which by the way is very good.
It is good.
Has a character who's in the last 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And you're like, what? Yeah, what's it's not she good, doing there? It's so weird.
One of the only missteps in it, and it's not a really big misstep, but it concerns an Easter egg that we spotted on a news ticker when Russell's going mental outside the Essex Institute for the first time, and it says Christopher Plummer refuses role in Deadpool 2. So we're like, that's a really good thing, possibly alluding to the fact obviously Christopher Plummer reshot loads of his stuff for all the money in the world because Kevin Spacey is disgusting, and TJ Miller is a similar dickhead as well. And he's obviously still in the film because it's like late on. Lots of people like Shula Donner and Ryan Reynolds said he's not going to be in anything else. But how fucking brilliant would it have been if they got Christopher Plummer in
to play Weasel? Because he's hardly in the movie, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like the shots that he's in, would have been quite easy to do.
His main scene is the bit where he's tied up by
Cable. Exactly. And
it's a short reverse shot.
And it is literally like they could have done that shot, absolutely. Yeah.
Ridley Scott would have done it.
Yeah, the only one that's like really, really hard to do is the one where they're all in the living room and he points a gun at him because they are all kind of standing together. You could have done one where they're sitting down and they're talking. Like,
or Or, like, again, because it's Deadpool, in that scene, you could literally have rotoscoped in his head or something mental. Like, called attention to it, going, this one was really hard.
Yeah. Like, how good a joke. That would have been the best Deadpool joke ever.
Yeah. That'd be absolutely perfect. Or
just, but I think I like that, where it's like, that's what I feel like with the breaking the fourth wall stuff. It's not just saying a movie that you've heard of. Like, you have more latitude than that.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of,
Joe, tell the story, because I don't think Krupa's heard it yet.
No.
Tell the story about when you came out of the screening.
This was mad, right? So we went to a media screening where sometimes at these things you have to hand in your phone beforehand so that you don't fuck up the movie's release.
I was reminding my pants or down my sock.
Why?
Because I don't want to give my phone to people, and I don't want to fucking queue up for the phone afterwards.
Also, actually, there was a very strange thing.
And I love pirating films.
I love filming it.
We went.
He's got the best phone to film it on.
They took everyone's phones, and then we went in, and it was like, scan this Snapchat signal to put a Deadpool filter on your film. You're like, what? But as we came out, we got in the queue to take our phones back, and this guy behind me just tapped me on the shoulder and went, oh, it's Thanos, wasn't it? And I went, sorry? And he went, Thanos. That was him. I was like, what, Josh Brolin? And he's like,
Brolin.
Yeah. That was Thanos, wasn't it? And I was like, he plays Thanos and he plays Cable. Yeah. I'm so,
it's acting.
But he was so insistent. I was like, I'm sorry, am I misunderstanding something? He went, look, at the end, that was Thanos, wasn't it? And I was like, what
are you talking about,
you
maniac?
And he just looked at me and was like, that's how they're turning him into Thanos when they join the films up. And I was like, sorry. And he goes, you know, the bit where he gets the time thing and they fixed it for Deadpool. And, like, I think the idea is it had, like, a slight purple glow. And so I think he thought it was, like, an Infinity Stone.
The time stone.
So he thinks...
Which is green.
And, right, so I'm so shit in these situations. This is when I'm like, I fucking wish I was Gav, because I just would be, what are you on about? I was just so nervous by this man in my face just going, like, just doing that. I was like, yeah, probably. And just went and got my phone. He thinks that the way they're going to get around the MCU turning into it is that Cable will become Thanos in canon. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It was so weird.
Did you always good to watch a movie with a fellow media?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Probably. I don't know who he works for, but they're getting a shit out of
it. A new think piece on Empire today.
It's so strange. It was really weird.
Imagine thinking like that. And you just go, I can't. If you even think that, I can't even begin to explain why that's not right.
Yeah.
Just that.
The fact that you even think that's possible.
Yeah.
Well, I love the idea that he's watching it. He's like, oh, Deadpool's talking to me? He's really confounded by it. Everything's connected.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Thing is, I do think that everything is connected.
Yeah.
And there's one, we did the Easter eggs feature for Deadpool.
This is mental. It's the longest part of the whole feature as well.
That video is quite long. But basically, like, because we had to do this, and obviously Deadpool is essentially just Easter eggs and references and stuff. And we have to do them all the time. We like doing them all the time. But I was up until 4 a.m. here doing this one. And then, like, somewhere around 12, that's my phone. Somewhere around 12, I came up with this one, right? I mean, later on, you.
I think
lads.
There's a correlation there.
Also, you were here till 4. That was 12. That's like, people are still awake at 12.
Gav texted me, he was like, it's quite big, this one. I was like, how many you got? He went, 60. I went, can you find 9 more?
I was like, yes, I can. That's brilliant.
Nice.
It was only the next day when he came in, he was like, that's not one. You're not having that.
We had to find another one.
At one point, the fact that I say, like, oh, and he references, do you want to build a snowman? Something which he references again, bing, another one on his deathbed. You're like, you're not having that.
You can't have that he says it again.
But
you would in a bibliography.
Well,
yeah,
we're not writing one. We're making a fun feature.
Says the Chicago Manual of Style.
Right.
So it's Harvard style.
At one point, Deadpool listens to Escape, brackets, the Pina Colada song.
100% banger.
Right?
Darker story than you think it is.
It is a way darker story than you think it is. It's
both,
disgusting.
Both people in that story are assholes.
Yeah. And
like, they deserve each other
as well. Right. So he listens to that song, right?
Yeah.
Right.
In Guardians of the Galaxy, That song plays a very big part in the first film. One of my favorite scenes. It's awesome. And it's because it's one of the awesome scenes as well, because it's when Drax realizes that Peter's a fucking idiot, which is really good. But in both of these films, right, music isn't like non-diegetic.
It's diegetic.
Yeah, it's diegetic music. It happens in that world.
So it's playing by radio that's in the scene.
Yeah. But also, it's also a thing where those songs are more than just music. They mean something more, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the time. Who knows? But if Escape, the Pina Colada song, is in Guardians of the Galaxy, that means that Deadpool 2 and Guardians of the Galaxy are in the same world.
What you are saying, Gav, is essentially the same as saying that the Chitauri probably showed up in the Made in Manhattan universe. Like, they both happened in New York, so it must and all be Manhattan.
Where was Lopez? She was a hero.
You're mad.
She's a hero on the ground. It's like that during the Battle of New York.
Yeah.
Where's Daredevil?
Yeah.
Where's J-Lo? You don't know what they're up to.
Why are they listening to more rap metal?
Where is Ed Norton from Keeping the Faith?
Yeah.
But where is he?
So that's a good one. Another thing, though.
Where is the money sleeping?
Another thing, though.
It never sleeps. I'm sorry. I didn't think it
through.
That's
a common misconception about money. It doesn't need sleep.
This is the one we've had debunked, right, by the writers, but I think they are liars. Because, right, so in Russell lives / is being messed with at the Essex Institute for Rehabilitation of Mutants or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
The nasty version of Xavier's.
Essentially, yeah.
Mr. Mirror version.
Now, Essex, we think, is a reference to the title Essex, who's Mr. Sinister. And the last time we saw Mr. Sinister was the end of X-Men Apocalypse's post-credit scenes. We saw a briefcase at Essex Quarters collecting Wolverine's blood, right? Mr. Sinister is this mad mutant, super powerful.
If you'd not known that, you'd probably recognize him. He's quite big in the 90s cartoon.
He was absolutely massive in the cartoon, yeah. He's sort of like big old blue dude, red eyes, and shoots red beams. So lots of people think that he's going to be the big like nemesis in the next couple of X-Men films. So obviously they did a nod to him in this. The director said, oh, that's unintentional.
Like, they would just use the word Essex.
Which is just bollocks, because that's got to be intentional. And the same goes for, on the posters inside the thing, it says M-Day is near. Now, M-Day is a massive thing in the comics where Scarlet Witch robs everyone of their powers. Well, first of all, she makes everyone a mutant, then she tries to make nobody a mutant. She can't make up her mind, that girl.
And of course, Jeannie Martin had her 40-inch neck snap, as we all remember.
Yeah. So I thought maybe they're building up something to that, but again, they said no. But this is the thing, right? So M-Day is such a massive thing, but it relies almost entirely on Scarlet Witch being able to like alter realities.
Yeah.
But obviously at the moment, Scarlet Witch is in the Avengers universe because she's massive, Elizabeth Olsen.
Fucking around.
So maybe that's a way that they're sort of, I don't know, maybe down the road, linking them up.
That's Thanos,
like,
isn't it?
Fucking Thanos, isn't it? It was me.
I love that. Yeah.
It was me.
That's Thanos, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Thanos you're talking about. It's a mad Titanite.
But I guess
that's a joke for a very small group.
These were Titans of a trade. But I guess the only thing with that is like, why would Disney get rid of all the mutants that they've just literally got? Like,
isn't
post M-Day when they find out loads of ways to give loads of mutants their powers back?
Yeah.
So maybe they do an M-Day event and then reintroduce mutants that they want by going, he's back.
Actually,
someone's given their powers back. He's back. Like, it's like just a big retcon way of dealing with it,
I suppose.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it just feels like, why would they have those posters up? Like, you know that means something in that universe. There's no way you're doing it by accident.
But maybe when that was made by, just to like approach it from a very different perspective, just as a more like someone had to do a job.
Yeah.
There's maybe a production designer who got given a lot of comic book stuff.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is the thing in the comics. oh, it'd be cool to work this into like posters way before any of this Disney Marvel deal was even mooted. And they just thought they were doing their job really well by hiding an Easter egg.
I think Deadpool where they just
you were saying that could have happened things. but why choose M-Day? It's quite a big recent story. I don't know, maybe that there could be a thing or it could literally just be someone who didn't really know what they were wielding.
I feel I don't know because those writers are like saying, no, that's definitely not it, but it feels like it's got to be. Like,
well, I think Mr. Sinister for sure is a thing that's going to... They're trying to set up Thanos
like a bigger cross... they're trying to set up a bigger cross-movie villain.
Yeah.
Because that's what's all the rage these days.
But yeah, I guess it's the same thing as well with Civil War. Like, Civil War is similar to what happens in the comics, but like the way that it happens, it's a massively, the way that it's handled, it's like
there's
different.
A kernel of an idea. Yes. And I think like what I was going to say then, to your point about whether they could do it, they could do it, but it'd be totally different. But again, it's the kernel of the idea of like, this is a thing you could do with this character, and this is what it can bring about. Yeah. It's like same with Infinity War. You read that comic, and it's loads different, completely different. But there are certain threads that go through them, and certain images where they go, that's such an amazing image to bring to life, like the click of the fingers. Like, you've got to do that.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
That's Deadpool 2. Good.
Good.
It's good. It's really good.
Like it.
Go see it.
Good movie.
What's up? Next. The best bit. Keyword countdown. Time for keyword countdown. It's keyword countdown. Time for keyword countdown. It's keyword. It's keyword countdown, and if you don't know what that is, IMDb categorized their films by a bunch of crazy keywords. So what I've done is taken 5 films, 10 keywords a piece. You guys have to guess what those films are and what the link is. Ooh. I've done a very good link for this week.
Have you actually written this one
again? Ooh.
But the thing is, I like knowing that because I can dial into you.
Yeah.
Wales.
Here we go.
I mean, last. Never mind.
Clue 1, dragons now. Clue number 1, film number 1. Sequel mentioned during end credits.
Batman Begins.
Love that. Actor playing multiple roles.
Norbit.
Not a Norbit.
Nutty
concept.
Professor. They probably mentioned Nutty Professor too.
Shared universe.
With altered studio logo.
Oh, I always love that. Matrix. Matrix. No.
Scott Pilgrim.
Matrix Reloaded.
Yes. Well done.
Fair play.
8 points, Krupa.
I don't like it when it's altered studio logo and it's just because it's green in the Matrix. Scott Pilgrim's one where it's the Universal soundtrack, but it's chiptune.
Yeah, that's good.
That's fucking good.
I'm annoyed you got that so quickly because obviously you put a lot of work into this. Brain in a Vat.
Wait, is that Carrying On Matrix
Carrying
Reloaded?
Carrying On Matrix Reloaded, you got the rest.
Oh, was
it? Brain in a Vat.
I don't remember that.
Oh, what's the Steve Martin film?
Oh, Man with Two Brains.
The Man with Two Brains.
Prophecy.
It's not that.
Alternate Reality.
Oh, he's ripping through.
No, this is Matrix Reloaded still.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Man versus Machine. Part of Trilogy. Oracle. Gung Fu.
I thought the last one was going to be Merovingian.
There you go.
So Vincent Cassell.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What a terrible role he took
He's married to Monica Bellucci.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Film.
She has an orgasm from some cake in that film.
From Stacey X.
1980s.
Wall Street.
Goonies.
Thrown Through a Window.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what, two Titans are playing this week.
That is the most 80s thrown through a window I can imagine.
Yeah.
I fucking love that film.
So good, isn't it?
It's amazing.
9 points to Joe.
It's got fucking...
Did I get 8?
What's the evil guy in that? Famous physical theatre man. Stephen Burkhoff.
Yeah.
Playing a villain in Beverly Hills.
Stephen Burkhoff, oh, isn't it?
He's the villain. He's amazing.
Walter Maitland is named the bad guy. Yeah.
That's almost as good as Robocop's.
No, Victor Maitland.
Victor Maitland. It's almost as good as Robocop's Clarence Bodecker.
Yeah.
Worst villain name ever.
Other clues. Death of Friend. Profanity. Drunkenness. Bare Butt. Freeze Frame. Wise Crack Humour. Banana in Tailpipe. There's two films.
Banana and Tailpipe.
In Tailpipe, yeah. Beverly Hills, California.
Do you know the henchman that kills his friend? Mm-hmm. Do you know who plays that?
Oh, isn't it Mike from
Breaking Bad? It's Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks so different. It's mad.
Here we go. Georgetown, Washington, D.C.
Exorcist.
Yes!
Fuck off. That's way too easy. There's no way there's another film set in Georgetown.
There's hundreds.
Shut up. Yeah.
I did put that one in because I thought, we haven't had a 10 for a while.
Deal with Krupa on here, Mr. Spooky. Come on.
This is good.
Mr. Spooky.
We do need to get through this, so this is good. Agnosticism, Mysterious Death, Mysterious Voice, St. Joseph Medal, Troubled Teenage Girl, which I love. Calling Someone a Nazi. Temporal Lobe Epilepsy. There's three films.
Fucking hell. That was that low down.
You know,
C word, Pazuzu Ambulance.
I would have got it on Pazuzu.
Yeah, you got Pazuzu.
That's the only one I would have got it on.
I was going to say, you know, like everyone always says, like, people used to walk out of The Exorcist, like throwing up and stuff.
Yeah.
It's because of the scene where she gets the goes to the hospital and gets the arterial thing. Yeah. That's when people used to walk out.
Oh, it's a lumbar punch, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
It's like a barium thing where they...
So 19 points to Krupa and 9 points to Joe. All to play for.
Barely.
No, mate, this is good. One word title.
Kez.
How are you not getting Kez?
It's Yorkshire, dickhead.
Say all the same, all the same.
What? You chose two different roses. Well done.
London.
What are you getting up on me?
London.
What's happening here?
North Scotland.
What's going on here? Weird energy.
My mum's from Lancashire, it's fine.
Oh, female, sorry, is it?
Yeah.
Female with short haircut.
Silent Slams.
Oh, fuck.
No, she didn't know that.
Giggling.
Hannah.
Fulfillment.
Death in the family.
One that word.
Salt. Damn it.
That's good. Salt.
That Angelina Jolie
action film.
Oh, fuck. All right.
They could have still been it.
Trying.
Underage smoking.
Leon.
Oh, he's Leon the professional.
Oh, is it?
Pharmacist.
Oh,
farm it.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. I really stumped on that one for a while then.
Yeah.
5 points, group of this. He's on 24. Joe, you're on 9. Can't win. I mean, we'll respect you if you get 10. Next one. Reference to Jan Michael Vincent.
What? Yeah. And it's not a Rick and Morty episode.
Poster on the wall. Summer holidays. Killer clown. Here we go then. Fifth and final one. Written by director.
Iron Man 3.
Road Trip.
Fear and Loathing?
Darjeeling Limited.
Ooh.
US-Canadian border.
Super Troopers.
Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Oh, I was so sure I was right.
Older man, younger man relationship.
Midnight Run.
48 Hours? That's not it.
Written by director. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Looking at oneself in mirror.
Why can I only say Shane Black films?
Yes. Yeah, I know.
That's weird.
Nice guys.
Nice guys.
I can't. This is funny because I can't say it, but deoxyribonucleic acid.
Ooh.
Well, I know what that is.
Yeah.
Why would that be? Insomnia?
Actor playing dual role.
Canada border.
Gattaca?
Chauffeured limousine.
Oh, it's not that. No, it's not. Not Cosmopolis.
Child murders an adult.
Child murder. Oh, that's a good keyword.
That is really good.
Oh, I'd like to see more of that.
Oh, it's going to really bother me.
Final clue. Main character dies.
Shane.
I was an absolute bastard with these clues. Because I thought you would have the link by now. So, written by director, road trip, US-Canadian border, older man, younger man relationship, looking at oneself in mirror, deoxyribonucleic acid, actor playing dual role.
I'm
chauffeured limousine.
Stumped.
Child murders an adult. Main character dies.
This is really obvious.
It, not by those clues, but right. If you knew the link, then yeah.
The piano.
Logan.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
US-Canada border.
I thought chauffeured limousine. I forgot that section.
I forgot. Yeah. Well, the thing is, because you said chauffeured, I'm thinking the character's being chauffeured.
Sometimes that, like, that's a good thing about this game is that you lock on to a particular interpretation.
And you're gone then.
And then you're gone because you eliminate so many movies out of hand.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you notice, anyone who listens to this podcast will notice, if you guys are really going down a mad route, except for that one, I usually do try and steer you back. But that was purposely putting you down the wrong route. So that's 24 points to Krupa with 3 guesses and 9 points to Joe. Really high scoring thing with 1 guess. We got Matrix Reloaded.
We got the
Beverly Hills Cop.
So we can get it together.
The Exorcist. It and Logan.
Again, I'm looking at Exorcist and It because they're horror movies. For weird connection, I don't think it.
They're not all. They've got.
What about this one?
Loads of them have child actors, but I can't think.
Not twins.
But it's Beverly Hills Cop doesn't.
Twins?
No.
Twins is a good one.
Oh, Dot's Father Merrin.
The Matrix Reloaded. I really want to get this. I'll sit here as long as it takes.
People piss themselves?
I really wee, so that doesn't help.
This movie, that's the link.
No.
Oh, this is so annoying.
That is good, though. You're relating it back to Deadpool.
That's the thing. It's got to be something. Yeah. What else does he do?
I was going to say David Leitch is involved, but it's only Matrix that he's in.
Right.
Do you know what? David Leitch is involved in so many more films that I didn't even know. It's mental.
He's an absolute beast.
We've got a... call it at some point.
Yeah. Domestically, they're in the top 10 of highest R-rated movies.
Of course they bloody
of
are.
All time.
That's good.
Logan number 10, Exorcist number 9, Beverly Hills Cop number 8, Hangover Part 2 number 7.
We literally did this
the other
day.
We talked about it the other day. Hangover Part 2 number 7, The Hangover.
Passion of the Christ is in there.
Number 6, The Matrix Reloaded 5, It 4, American Sniper 3, Deadpool 2, Passion of the Christ 1. How is Beverly Hills Cop still in there?
I also didn't even know it was R-rated.
Well, Beverly Hills Cop is fucking really naughty.
It's naughty. But I forget because I watched it as a kid.
Matrix Reloaded, I think, is the one that maybe pulled you out there because you know Logan is famously thing. So good. There we are.
Good.
There you go.
That's very good.
That's it, lads. We haven't got any feedback this week because we are going to an awards thing to see if this very podcast is going to win an award.
Spoilers, it won't.
Thank you very much for listening to our Deadpool 2 special. Please go see it. Let us know what you think about it. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
Bye.
Kiss,
bye.
Kiss.
Come out of ashes.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.